SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. The NFL is back for week 5. That means I'm back in the house along with Davis Maddock. Welcome to the show, no doubt. We're going to talk some DFS tonight. We'll preview the fantasy football weekend. And Davis, they've given us a special treat tonight. Indianapolis Colts and Denver Broncos to start off the week's slate. But good to be back with you in the house. Hope you had a great show yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we missed you. We did get to bring George Kurtz in the house to talk about Aaron Judge's 60-second home run, our resident Yankees fan, so got to cover that. I mean, tonight's game probably not going to be, a great output of expansive, progressive football, but probably the two biggest questions of the week in terms of fantasy football is what's the Denver backfield going to look like without Javonte Williams, and there are literally millions, maybe a billion people. I don't know how many people play fantasy football, sitting there trying to decide, do I start Nyheim Hines without Jonathan Taylor or do I not start Nyheim Hines without Jonathan Taylor? So, in terms of fantasy football, two of the biggest storylines of the week coming early on a Thursday.
Yeah, Latavius Murray's now on the Denver Broncos. Do I suit him up tonight? What about Boone? I assume Melvin Gordon will start for everyone. We're going to learn a little bit tonight, I guess, in this game. And that's where we'll begin, of course, here on the show. We'll go over a little bit later, by the way. But let's start off with a little college football. UCF, they win again last night. They improved to 4-1 as they beat the Mustangs of SMU. This was interesting, I noticed yesterday. Draymond Green and Jordan Poole get into it at Warriors practice. Seems like a lot of people, Davis, were on the side, by the way, of Poole on this one, at least on social media. Kansas City Royals. Davis is, having a party today or upset. I don't know. I never stomp on somebody's firing. But Mike Matheny is gone as the manager of the Royals. And Cal Eldred is gone as the pitching coach of the Royals. They just have not been able to develop any sort of cohesive pitching nature. So that is the latest there. And also, Phil Nevin agrees to a one-year deal to manage the Angels next season. Nevin did a fair job, Davis, as manager of the Angels. But inevitably, what's happening here behind the scenes is the Angels are for sale. And so, they're not going to give out a big-time contract to a new manager. They're going to get that sorted out. And a one-year deal doesn't really mean anything in baseball. I mean, they could fire him 2 months into the season and just hire an interim. So that's just sort of the scope of that. But feel free to hit on the Warriors here or even the Royals. I mean, that's going to be a big fantasy story next year. I think that new manager is going to come in. They're going to change the way they play a little bit. And obviously going to help develop some pitching, I hope, for you.
This actually is, this is Fantasy Sports Today, and you'd think, are the Royals really that important of a team for fantasy? I actually think they might be. I mean, for one, we have MJ Melendez, who is one of the best catchers, best young catchers. Then you have Salvador Perez, who's been, a top 50 pick for the last, for as long as I can remember in fantasy baseball. But probably the more important stuff is Vinny P, right, our Italian first baseman. If they go with him for 550 plate appearances, he's going to bring, he is basically the Royals' Luke Voit. And then you kind of have the young guys of like, okay, are they going to lead? Is Drew Waters going to play every day in the outfield? Edward Olivares, right? Nick Prado. I mean, Nick Prado won a couple people hundreds of thousands of dollars this year with multiple. I believe he had two separate double-digit home run games. And the way the Royals have run under Dayton Moore and Mike Matheny and Cal and Eldred. I mean, they have not used these young guys, right? They bring Greinke back to end his career. And I know from inside, not inside the organization, but inside people who follow the team really closely, this Eldred guy, probably the most hated guy in the organization for how he is instructed. I mean, how many first-round starting pitchers have the Royals taken and then never gotten anything out of them at the major league level? So me personally, you mentioned throwing a party. We are throwing a party in my household. I just think it was well overdue to have a renovation there. And then, the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green stuff, pretty interesting because there's money at stake here. Jordan Poole has not been given his big extension. They have not figured out the contract situation with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. This is all kind of an open discussion inside of the Warriors organization. And one thing you would say as an outsider is like, okay, we don't have contract situations figured out, but like, they're the Warriors. They'll figure it out. I mean, I don't know, right? If Poole and Klay and Draymond all want, Poole, his first big contract Klay and Draymond their last big contracts, and they're all wanting these situations taken care of, and the Warriors ownership is saying, figure it out. We're not doing it until this next offseason. It seems like it's going to make the situation kind of difficult for the coaching staff.
Yeah, I see a lot of people, you know, saying maybe it's time for Draymond to go. I was like, wow, okay. That's definitely not a take that I was expecting, no doubt. And then as far as tonight's game goes, Davis, you know, we're going to hit on it quite a bit. I think probably we would have hit on it more if it was a better game. But I guess it's fair to say that you lose a lot of confidence in the team that loses tonight. I would not say you gain a lot of confidence with the winner, but whoever loses this one, you can't really look seriously at, I think, the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, I think the Colts are just going to get very lucky. Their division is so poor that I truly think 9 wins might take it for that division in the end, but probably not a winning team. I mean, other than the Titans, right? Titans, Colts, two of these winning teams that I literally do not believe in. You cannot wait to bet against whoever wins the AFC South in the postseason, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's be honest. Jacksonville has far and away played the best of any team in that division. And by the way, Davis, I mean, let's get real. It poured in that game in Philadelphia. Jacksonville was up 14-0. The rain came down. They fell apart. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe Jacksonville really is the team in that division. But coming up next, starter sit questions are on deck for Davis and I. We'll go through them, including a quarterback playing tonight. So stay on the grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid. Start or sit questions here on this Thursday, including a player playing tonight in fantasy football. And Davis, is so interesting that here we are a month into the season. You never would have thought that we'd be talking about two quarterbacks, arguably within the top 10, maybe at the beginning of the season, now that have fallen out of that. And then we have to make decisions tonight, especially on one player. So let's get started immediately and do this with Russell Wilson of the Denver Broncos. This has not gone anywhere near as planned. Although last week there were some shining moments for him, including rushing a touchdown, which obviously saved his day. But let's be honest. I mean, this has looked nothing like we thought it would look for Russell Wilson. He's played 4 games. He has 5 touchdowns on the season and 1 interception. The Broncos are just playing, I don't know, Davis. It looks exactly like last year. I don't see any difference whatsoever. Just running the ball. Clock runs down. Fans are yelling at the team, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, before they hike the ball. And they're playing against the team tonight, Davis, that's going to do the same thing. They're just going to play that same game plan. I mean, is this just as simple as it looks here on paper? Would you dare start Russell Wilson?
I mean, he did show a little bit of signs last week, right? Threw for the 2 passing touchdowns. Probably the biggest thing that happened for him last week was the rushing touchdown. That was really what had let, I mean, a huge chunk of Russell Wilson's fantasy value throughout the years has come via rushing. You know, he has ran for 800 yards in his career, multiple 500 yard seasons, has ran for at least 1 touchdown every year of his career, except for weirdly 2018, a season where he was really good. And if you remove all of that rushing production, then he becomes a very different fantasy asset. And I actually have this start sit decision in a couple leagues myself, where I took Russell Wilson as kind of a later round quarterback, got Jared Goff against the New England Patriots sitting on the bench, probably getting Amon-Ra St. Brown this week, probably getting DJ Shark back this week, probably not DeAndre Swift. That very similarly is going to be, I think, a pretty slow-paced game. I don't really think that the Patriots are going to push the lines. But you know what? I think we're going with Goff. This game is, you know, they're coming on the 4 days rest. They don't have Javonte Williams. Like, they're going to try and just escape this one. You know, exactly what you said, bring the clock down to 1. You know, maybe we get 1 deep strike to Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy, but I don't think it's going to be a very expansive passing game plan. Probably right around quarterback 11 or 12 this week. Just like, you can start him if your option is like, you know, Jameis Winston or whatever. But, you know, if you happen to pick up Jared Goff, you know, I'm honestly very similar to Mariota, like just not an exciting guy to start.
Yeah, no, it's a shame the way that it has gone. And I would guess Melvin Gordon is going to at least get an attempt to have a big game tonight. I would assume they're just going to lean on him and go from there. All right, now this is probably a very important formatical question, Davis, when it comes to Matthew Stafford, because we're sort of at the point here now where if you play in a league where you're losing points for interceptions, meaning like a touchdown you get 4, a pick you get -2, he's just not startable anymore. He's just throwing too many interceptions. Now, I guess the question is if you play in a league that doesn't take away points for picks, would you start him this week? He does have 4 touchdowns. As you can see, he has more passing yards than Russell Wilson on the season. This has got to be a better matchup for him, I would guess, on paper going into this week. Is it cut and dry for Stafford, or is it matchup-based, do you think?
I actually don't think this is that good of a matchup. I mean, the Cowboys have been murdering opposing quarterbacks. Micah Parsons looks like, I mean, is Micah Parsons the best pass rusher in the NFL, even better than, you know, the younger Watt brother? Like, I don't know. It's pretty close. I would definitely not be starting Matt Stafford. I mean, I just am not starting Stafford. I would cut him. I would prefer Jared Goff. Now, not this week, but moving forward, rest of the season, I would maybe rather have, you know, Kenny Pickett. Honestly, he is in that quarterback 15 to 20 range where it's like, sure, maybe he gets you 3 touchdowns 1 week, but most of the time I think he's going to be pretty disappointing. Now, are the Rams eventually going to figure it out? Is Sean McVay going to figure out how to get the sticks moving, figure out how to get to 25, 26, 27 points a game? Probably, but I don't see it right now. I don't see it right now at all. And really the issue is they just have no one to throw to outside of Cooper Kupp. I mean, Tyler Higbee should never be getting 10 receptions in an NFL game. Higbee is a fine player. Right. You know, he does his job. He blocks. He runs his good little 8-yard routes. But when were the Rams really good? The Rams were really good when Robert Woods was always open, when Odell Beckham Jr. was creating space for Cooper Kupp. And, you know, it's sad to see, but, you know, Allen Robinson looks cooked. There are only 2 players in the NFL who have gained less yards per route run than him, the ancient A.J. Green and third-day draft pick on year 3 for the Carolina Panthers, Shai Smith. I mean, Allen Robinson has been horrible. They're using, you know, Ben Skoronek while they wait for Van Jefferson to get back. There's no way I'm starting Matt Stafford right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's fair. And you're right about Dallas. It didn't even occur to me how well their defense has played. You're absolutely right. Been fantastic and helping out Cooper Rush in a big way. All right, now let's go over to running back. And naturally, we saw the emergence last week of Rashad White on the season. He really hasn't done that much. He's more of the pass catching back. And we know that obviously they have a very capable back there as well. But he did get more looks. It seems like he's becoming, you know, getting into the playing time. It's almost as if, Davis, it reminds me of a little like Keyshawn Vaughn-ish. It reminds me a little of Giovanni Bernard-ish, where they just never really got that guy going. And I wonder if this is the one that does.
Yeah, I would not be starting Rashad White this week. I mean, he did get into the game last week for them, but it was when, you know, it was pretty well out of hand. And I would actually anticipate this game getting out of hand, but not in a way that would favor Rashad White. I would think that when they're up by 10 points, that's going to go Fournette's direction. Rashad White, you know, kind of an interesting guy, older prospect. He's already 23. He played at a junior college. He played at the University of Nebraska Kearney. Not the big Nebraska, the University of Nebraska Kearney, right? So a weird journey for him to get into the NFL. He's not really, you know, a first and 10 between the tackles, you know, goal to go type runner. He's yeah, like Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, third downs, Giovanni right. Bernard, you know, protecting the quarterback. And I mean, there will be some starts. And if Fournette were to get injured, I mean, Rashad White, probably the best handcuff running back in the league. The Buccaneers are, I believe, one of only 2 teams in the NFL that have only used, I believe the Cowboys and the Buccaneers are the only 2 teams in the NFL that have only had 2 running backs play a snap, not adding a third in there at all. So White, I mean, yeah, get him on your fantasy team if and when Fournette has to miss time, but I don't think we're starting him.
Yeah, can I ask you a question? This may slip by me. What happened to Vaughn? What happened to Keyshawn Vaughn?
He has been a healthy scratch. He is still on their roster, but because he doesn't play special teams, he just basically, you know, I mean, he's Ronald Jones. He's Jordan Howard. Like, he just is there to break glass in case of emergency.
Wow. Surprise. He looked good last year. Okay, finally, the Bears. Never a great situation with them, for sure. Darnell Mooney, I suppose, you know, could be considered their top guy. 8 receptions, 121 receiving yards, no touchdowns, and 16 targets. I'm guessing if we're talking about him, there's got to be a case to be made for him, I guess, because I cannot find one.
Well, I mean, they did run a little bit more of an NFL-style offense last week. They got up to, I believe, 22 passing attempts last week, which was their tie of the season. Mooney turned in 4 for 94. I mean, what's the point, though? Like, are you starting to, like, no. I mean, I think Darryl Mooney is closer to a cut than a start at this point. I'm not expecting them to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, start throwing the ball more. I mean, maybe they will, right? And Mooney is good enough and has a solid enough role. It's inside a dome, like, whatever. But, like, for example, I would rather start Khalil Shakir, assuming that McKenzie and Crowder don't play this weekend, than Darnell Mooney. And that guy, I mean, that guy's probably on the waivers in everyone's league who's watching right now.
Yep, for sure. All right. Well, listen, tonight, not only in season long, but tonight is an opportunity in daily fantasy. Sean Green is going to join us next. We're going to give you a preview as to who you should be using tonight over on DraftKings. So those of you getting ready to set a line for Thursday Night Football, get out the DraftKings app and open it up. And then also we're going to talk about some quarterbacks going into this week. Of course, this could be the first start for Billy Zappi going into the weekend for New England. Also the first start for Kenny Pickett as well. Some things in terms of what we can expect. We will talk about that next right here on Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mischke, we got Sean Green coming up next. So stay on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday Night Football is upon us. We have the Colts and the Broncos. And those of you who have the DraftKings app, here's your 10 seconds to get it out. We're going to help you set a lineup coming up here. Sean Green is with us, of course, along with Davis, and we'll give you some advice on what to do tonight. Hey, Sean, thanks for popping back here on the show on this Thursday. Week 5 is here. You ready for it?
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of good spots, fantasy, gambling. Just jacked up. I'm an Eagles fan. I'm going to that Eagles-Cardinals game, so that should be fun as well. So, yeah, looking forward to Week 5.
All right, so let's get right into it and dive into some of the pricing tonight over on DraftKings. We'll start off with Michael Pittman Jr., who surprisingly, I guess, is one of the higher-priced guys. Just not a lot of talent on these. Actually, probably a lot of talent, but we haven't seen it yet this season. 15,900. Naturally, no Jonathan Taylor in this game. Russell Wilson's at 15,800 or 600. Matt Ryan is 14,400. Cortland Sutton is 14-1. Melvin Gordon, going to play a lot tonight with Javonte Williams out, is 13-2. And then Sean Jerry Jeudy is priced at 11,700. Feels like anything goes tonight. This could be one of those games where, I mean, you have a low point total. It may only be 3 or 4 touchdowns scored. And so you got to make the most of every single one of them.
Yeah, I think the way to attack this game is load up on Broncos players. I think you go 5 Broncos, 1 Colts. I think this could be a get right game for the Broncos offense. You know, everyone's asking, hey, when is Russ going to start cooking? When are they going to let Russ cook? Does he even know how to cook anymore? A lot of questions about the Broncos and the offense. And I think this is a good opportunity. Colts coming in on a short week, that always favors the home team. And, you know, Colts pass defense is pretty bad. 27th in DVOA. I think they're going to have some opportunities in the pass game. And in particular, look at Albert O. Indy's pass defense, 28th in points allowed to the tight end. I think Albert O could get involved. I think Sutton has a decent matchup as well. And then as far as like the running back situation, I like playing Mike Boone. I don't think they trust Melvin Gordon for good reason. He's lost a couple fumbles, including one on the goal line, one that the Raiders returned for a touchdown. And Mike Boone, he had 5% snap share, then 10, then 19. Then last week with Javonte Williams going out, he's all the way up to 36%. I don't think they trust Melvin Gordon. I do think, obviously, Melvin Gordon's workload will go up a little bit, but I think Mike Boone is the running back you want to play for the Broncos.
Interesting. What do you think, David?
I think it'll likely be a hot hand situation. You know, whoever plays well, I think it's going to kind of be that way. My guess would be the team is actually planning to have Melvin Gordon be the guy who comes out on the first drive, and then they'll just see where it goes from there. There was reporting from Ben Albright, who does radio out in Denver last week, that had been communicated to him that the plan was to rest Melvin Gordon in that Raiders game. You know, Melvin Gordon is, I believe, 30, maybe 29. And just, you know, obviously, like, the four-day turnaround for a 29-year-old running back is going to be a little bit – I mean, not that Boone is any spring chicken, right? I mean, Boone spent all of last year on the IR. He played out his rookie contract in Minnesota. It also would not surprise me if they just kept these guys in the roles they were in. Melvin Gordon plays the role he was in. Mike Boone steps up and plays the quote-unquote Javonte role. If they get down to the 3-yard line in the first quarter, I think Mike Boone is probably going to get – I think Melvin Gordon actually is probably going to get that first carry from the goal. And one other note I wanted to mention for this game, I think Eric Sobert, the Broncos tight end, pretty interesting. I liked Sean Stat. Now my best ball bag's absolutely packed with Albert O. Guy played only one snap last week. Absolutely brutal. But they're definitely waiting for Greg Dulcich to come back. Would be amazing if he got activated from the IR this week. But I do think, you know, Tomlin said Beck, any of these Broncos tight ends all seem like pretty good showdown darts.
Yeah, Beck getting 3rd-and-1 carries, if I'm not mistaken, for the Broncos at some point. Horrible. This season. Didn't anticipate that. Okay, so Sean, let's talk about this new quarterback for the New England Patriots. And if you want to go back to the old Brady days, boy, didn't New England, you know, sort of have these guys that were backups that, you know, ended up getting jobs in other places in the past? You know, Matt Castle comes to mind. Ryan Mallett, I think that was another one. He got an opportunity. Jimmy G obviously was there. But any quarterback that plays well now may have a shot in New England because Brady's no longer there, obviously. You know, Mac Jones, you know, say what you want about him. Great start to his career and then has been a little banged up. But Zappe looked capable at the very least last week. He did throw a touchdown pass. He threw for 99 yards. You know what this Patriots offense is going to be. A lot of running and then special, you know, spots to throw the ball. What do you make of what you saw from Zappe? And is he even playable at all in fantasy? It feels like he's on the back end of the 30.
I don't know. I think if you're playing Bailey Zappe, you got bigger problems in life right now. Maybe if you're in a 2-quarterback league, I guess you're talking yourself into the idea that, you know, you're going against this Detroit Lions defense, which allows the most points in the league. And you want to load up on players against them. I think, as you said, you know, Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, those guys are certainly interesting plays. I think they could just, you know, pound the ball a ton. I think Zappe looked okay. I mean, he came in relief, so you would think he will look a little bit better at home against a Detroit Lions defense that isn't great and with a full week to prepare. I'm not expecting a ton out of Bailey Zappe, though, especially from a fantasy perspective.
I mean, it would be a very cool story for those who are unfamiliar with Mr. Zappe. Last year at Western Kentucky, he threw the most yards and the most touchdowns ever in college football history, right? More than, you know, those old Hawaii air raid. What was it? Graham Harrell was the old Hawaii quarterback. You know, I mean, 6,000 yards, 62 touchdowns. Now, I don't imagine that the New England Patriots are going to be rolling out the air raid this week, but it definitely is an interesting test to the thesis that you should just start every player against the Detroit Lions. The Lions have the 3rd best passing offense by DVOA in the NFL. They have the 32nd out of 32 passing defense by DVOA in the NFL. You know, I mean, they just made Geno Smith look like, you know, John Elway out there, which was certainly pretty interesting. I think you're right. I mean, I don't know. It's like he's probably going to throw for 180 yards and 1 touchdown, 1 interception, and probably nothing's going to – that game's going to be horrible. I think Damian and Ramondre are probably your starts there. But he's probably the guy I'm most excited to watch this weekend just to see if he does breathe a little bit of life into this offense.
Yeah, it could be. You never know. We've seen these stories before, and, you know, we've seen the Mike Whites before, too. You just don't know which way it's going to end up going. All right, the Giants are in a real predicament this week. They're working out all kinds of quarterbacks. Poor Tyrod Taylor. I mean, this guy has the worst luck as far as injuries are concerned. Seems like he plays immediately and immediately gets hurt in some way. Concussion is the story here. I don't believe he's been cleared as of now, Sean. So Daniel Jones, who was limping and couldn't even play until they needed to pass, he came in on 3rd down. They were running the Wildcat last week. You know, Daniel Jones naturally had a pretty decent week, all things considered, throwing the two touchdowns, but, you know, basically got you the fantasy points based off that. You know, what do you think the Giants end up doing this week? You think more Wildcat is in the conversation? Can Daniel Jones play an entire game?
Yeah, you know, they brought him back in after the Tyrod concussion just because they needed a warm body in there. You know, the Dable offense, he wants someone that can, you know, that is mobile, that can move around. And right now, you know, if you're dealing with the mobility issues that Daniel Jones has and you factor in the long flight to London, I think it's going to be tough. Like, I think they will end up starting Daniel Jones, but I think he's going to be pretty limited. And I don't think he has much fantasy value because all his fantasy value has come from his ability to rush the ball, rushing for two touchdowns last week against the Bears. It's certainly not coming in the air. And part of that is Daniel Jones. And part of it is they just have no one on receiver between injuries, poor play, and whatever else is going on with some of these guys. They just have no competent receiving core outside Saquon Barkley. So the only guy, you know, on the Giants who should be starting fantasy wise is Saquon Barkley. I, you know, they didn't sign a quarterback, which is a good sign, I guess, for Daniel Jones to be the starter. But I would say, I think they're going to start with Daniel Jones, but I Davis Webb, I think we'll definitely see some action.
Yeah, I mean, we're not even that far removed from being in this, a very similar situation. I'll never forget Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm playing in a, you know, a quarterback tandem series after series for the New York Giants. I mean, what a brutal spot that they're in. But I mean, if Wandale and Kadarius Toney are not able to play in this game, now reports have been positive on them, but if those guys do not play, Kenny Galladay's out with a knee injury, Sterling Shepard's out for the year, I do think you can start Richie James in, like, we're in leagues where you start two or three flexes, because I mean, they're just, I mean, it's kind of like a Darnell Mooney situation where it's like, he is the only guy out there who is going to be getting targets at us. So obviously you're not excited to start him, but I personally hope Kadarius Toney is back this week.
Yeah. And I think they got to get Toney going. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think Richie James had a big fumble in that game last week too.
He did. Yes.
The game, so they really don't have much. All right, let's cap it off here. And Sean Kenny Pickett's going to get his first career start. He had some good, some bad in last week's game. And naturally, he's got like that gunslinger attached to him, which obviously is going to mean touchdowns. Maybe it means some picks. But look, there's some reason to be optimistic that he can succeed, you know, hopefully in a game where they're not getting destroyed, which is sort of the script as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, the spread is 14 points, so the odds makers don't think Pittsburgh has a chance. But you watch Kenny Pickett. I thought he did bring a little spark to the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. He also had two rushing touchdowns, which, again, I think makes him kind of as an interesting dart throw and maybe a GPP lineup. He also got George Pickens involved, which I think, you know, Mitchell Trubisky was just not able to do. He also completed two passes with 20 plus air yards, which for reference, Matt Stafford only has three the entire season. So I like what I saw out of Kenny Pickett. I don't think all those INTs were his fault, and I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I'm optimistic overall. I'm optimistic Kenny Pickett can be like a top 15 quarterback. But we are going to go ahead and run to break here real quick on FST. Sean, thank you for joining us. We got fantasy or reality when we get back. Craig and I will be here with you in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, and of course, all of your fantasy and sports betting content. And Davis and I will be back here on the show tomorrow, right at this moment, giving out our pick of the week. Now, you know what, Davis? It kind of started off as just like a, you know, a whim, sort of, before the show. But I think what's really interesting is that if people went back and they looked at our one, because we, you know, we're not going to do a million picks on the show. We do fantasy. But if people went back and looked and said, you know what, let me just, you know, tail Craig and Davis's picks for the season, they would be 7-1 on the year with all different picks. By the way, I've had four and won them all. and you've gone 3-1, and we've had all different picks in those eight. So tomorrow, I would say tune in to see if we can go, 9-1. That's impressive, man.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to be thinking. The pressure is on now. Now that we've been off to this blistering start, we're gonna have to, really try and keep it up. And picking NFL sides is like that is tough work, right? And the casinos and the sports books make their money on people who think that they know better than picking NFL sides in total. So it definitely is pretty tough work. But it's also been kind of an interesting year. Lots of underdogs and lots of unders, right? Unders are just absolutely crushing so far this year.
Yeah, unders above 60% and underdogs at 60% on the season. And I can tell you that tomorrow's pick, Davis is going to, on my pick, he's going to absolutely hate. 1,000,000% unequivocal.
Taking the Raiders and Arrowhead is not going to go well for you?
No.
Okay.
I'm not doing that. I'm just saying I'm going to be picking a game where you're going to throw up. And those are the games that I pick, the throw-up games. 4-0, though, to start the season. Look at the teams that I've taken. Indianapolis against Kansas City. Last week was the Giants. That's what you got to do in this business. But, hey, some of the picks, 3 out of 4, you've hit, too. So we'll see what you choose tomorrow. All right, for now, let's end the show with some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, the baseball season, regular season came to an end yesterday, and 48 hours later, we got playoffs tomorrow. They begin all day long, 1 o'clock Eastern, all the way through the night, and I can't wait for this to start. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, the Yankees will not be playing in the first round because they have a bye. Aaron Judge did, as you mentioned, end up hitting the 62nd home run. He did not play yesterday to end the season, and so he's on 62. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. This is going to be a very hot topic no matter what happens at the end of the season. This is all anybody's going to be talking about because he's due for a monster raise. Fantasy or reality, Aaron Judge will remain a Yankee in 2023.
So it's pretty interesting. I think certainly my assumption, and I think a lot of people's assumption would be that Judge is going to go to free agency and, the Dodgers and the Padres and the Mets and the Yankees and all these teams are just going to be like, all right, here's a blank check, sign it. But then I looked into this a little bit after he hit the 62nd home run. I actually think that probably the most likely thing is that he just re-signs. It ends up being like one of these arbitrated cases, and he ends up just doing the one-year Mega Millions deal. Like it's like a one-year $39 million deal or something like that because of the technicalities of the way that baseball contracts work. And you would know a little bit more about that than I would, but I believe it's not like the NBA where you have bird rights, and it's not like the NFL where you have like the franchise tag and stuff. But I from the stuff that I saw yesterday, and again, like this could also be inaccurate. Like a 1 year deal with a crazy amount of money seems like the most likely outcome here, which of course would be with the Yankees. So I got reality, a 1 year deal for like $42 million with the Yankees next year.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're getting that from. I don't think that is the case. They offer him the qualifying offer, which is going to be 30 or 40 million, correct?
Okay.
But then he turns that down and becomes a free agent. And then if he goes and signs somewhere else, the Yankees get the draft pick. I think that's the scenario that plays out. But I don't think he's going to sign that qualifying offer, so it just goes away. But regardless of that, I do think he does end up back in New York. I think that blank check has to be signed by the Yankees. Now, the one thing that we don't know is we don't know who the Rangers are this offseason. We don't know that team that's going to go for Simeon and Seager. We don't know. And then they gave both those guys $200 million. Detroit gave Baez $150 million. And there's going to be a team. I don't know who it is yet, Davis. Maybe it's Baltimore. Maybe the Orioles are that team that comes in and says 5 years, $300 million for $250 million for Aaron Judge. I don't know the answer to that. But my guess is there will be competition. But in the end, I don't think that there's any shot the Yankees can let him go. I think it has to be just a, as you said, a blank check, and the Yankees have to match it. Because if they don't, I don't think this is a Freddie Freeman type situation where they can go and get a player like Judge. I don't see one in the offseason, this free agency, that's going to match the production that he can get. So I got reality. I think he is back with the Yankees. But I was so wrong on Freddie Freeman I guess I have to be prepared to be wrong on this one as well. All right, tonight it is Thursday night football. Will it be a dud? I don't know. Maybe this is one of those games that on paper looks like a dud, but it's not. I'm hoping for that. And you know why? Because, Davis, the total is not like 39 or 39 and a half or 40. It's sort of giving you a little bit of a possibility here that the game is better than we think. That's what happens when the total is between 41 and 44 usually. Anytime it's under that, I mean, you have to assume it's going to be a dud of a game. But let's play the total here tonight. Thursday night football, Colts and Broncos, over under 42 and a half. We're going to say for fantasy reality, it goes over 42 and a half tonight.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we had Browns Steelers, which everyone thought was going to be like the worst right. game ever, just two teams running the ball into the line. And we got some exciting plays in that game. We got, 100 yards and a touchdown for David Njoku, good Amari Cooper game, that crazy George Pickens catch, another 12-target game for Deontay Johnson. I mean, I think the big differences between those two teams, though, is like there are great skill position players on both of those teams. Who are the great skill position players on the Colts, especially with Jonathan Taylor out? Like, what is the game plan from Frank Reich going to be? Like, oh, we really got to make sure to get Mo Alie-Cox in space. And honestly, I mean, there's probably not a coach that I dislike more at this point than Nathaniel Hackett. Just like so slow. Never has any idea what to do once he gets into a situation. It's like I swear every time they get into a new situation, Hackett is like responding like a 9-year-old playing Madden. Like, what do I do when the clock says this? What do I do when I'm down 8 points in the fourth quarter? What do I like? I don't. He's horrible. I mean, if I was the new ownership group at Denver, I would already let him go. Which I think is.
I think at the end of the year.
Yeah. It just feels like total one and done to me. I got fantasy here. I think we see a super slow game. I think we see both of these teams, you know, under 60 total plays. I bet the Broncos will throw one big deep shot. Maybe they connect. Maybe they don't. The way I would see it is like maybe Alec Pierce gets deep for one for Indianapolis. But I think without Jonathan Taylor, they are going to be a sorry site. I got fantasy. I got the under here.
Yeah, I think, the other thing that has happened, and it's really sad to see, Davis, on the Colts side, is that this is the end for Matt Ryan. I mean, Matt Ryan just can't hang on to the football anymore. I don't know what is going on. This guy gets tackled, and immediately the ball's going behind him. And I like Matt Ryan over the course of his career, but in another season where the Colts are probably going to be going back for another quarterback again next year. I would tell you the danger zone here for me on this one, Davis, is because both kickers seem to be pretty good and they both seem to be running these conservative offenses. You know what is in play tonight? I think overtime may be in play for this. And I'm a little worried, like, okay, 2020 and here we go. You know, the game goes over on that. And it was like an under, 2017 with like a minute to go. They kick a field goal. You lose on something like that going to OT unless they tie. I'm going to go with you here. I'm going to go on the under. It's rare that you would hear a call like that from me, a dart throw where I think overtime is in play. But I think these two teams will be very happy to just, have 17 points apiece. And then one team scores a touchdown. You lose on that. That's the danger zone for me tonight. But I'll go under as well with you. All right. It is time for a competition among the fattest bears in Alaska. And this is legitimate. Brett sent this to us last night. There are 12 bears in the vying during this hibernation period of the fattest bear contest. And one of them is named Chunk. I saw here. That's a popular one here. This is a real competition, folks, that you can vote online. Just Google it. You probably are streaming somewhere. You pull out your phone, Google this. And you can actually vote for the winner here, Davis. They have pictures and everything. Fantasy or reality, you will vote for your favorite fat Alaskan bear.
I mean, yeah, why not? I actually love bears. Like bears are there are a couple. I mean, first off, bears are just big dogs, right? And most of their now obviously they can knock you out with a swipe of the paw. And then also there is this great quote. I think about it quite often actually when playing fantasy sports and seeing some of the decisions that people make. This guy used to be like this head supervisor guy at Yellowstone once told, I believe it was Time magazine, there is considerable overlap between our smartest bears and our dumbest guests because they have these bear-proof trash cans, right? Because, like, obviously bears love to eat trash. They love to go and get the leftovers and stuff. But they would have people who would come to Yellowstone and could not figure out how to get the trash cans open because some bears are smarter than the dumbest people. So I consider myself a bear softy. So sure, I got reality here. I'll vote for my favorite fat Alaskan bear.
All right. Can't get him to watch shows on TV, but we got Davis to vote on the fattest bear. Yeah, I'm going to say fantasy here. I mean, I could barely put my fantasy lineups in and make my picks of the week. So odds of me doing this are slim. The other thing that I would say is that, you know, the thing with bears is that, like, it seems like really nice and fun and cuddly until that, like, twice a year you hear the story about somebody killed by a bear in the woods, you know? So yeah, I got fantasy here, but I think it's cool. A fun contest for sure. Davis will let us know who he picked. Chunk is the only one that I think that stands a chance in this one, but who knows? Maybe that will be the case. By the way, do you have a team you're rooting for in the baseball playoffs here? Because we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks. And who are you pulling for here as we get to the end?
I mean, probably the Blue Jays, honestly, is going to be the team that I end up putting my half. I just kind of like them, you know. I like Vlad, I like Bichette, it's just kind of a cool vibe. But I mean, it's just like the baseball playoffs. It's so disheartening because some of my favorite sports memories are obviously 2014, 2015 with the Kansas City Royals, and it's just like when is the next time I'm going to get to go to Kauffman Stadium for an American League championship game? Like, will that happen again in my lifetime? Like, I don't know. It seems pretty thin. You absolutely hate to see it.
Yeah. I mean, how about my team here in South Florida, Davis? Come on. At least you got
never.
A World
will never happen.
I got the Marlins here, Davis. Boy, you're making me feel bad. Yeah, you know, I'm going to, this is a tough one for me. I mean, obviously I got ties to Philadelphia. I got ties to the Braves. I got ties to St. Louis. I think it's going to be one of those two teams. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not going to pick my favorite, but my son wants to go see a playoff game. And the only way that happens, Davis, is if Tampa Bay wins. Because I ain't flying all over the country while I got to work and do these shows to do this. Maybe in the World Series, but so Tampa Bay is going to be the team that at least I'm pulling for. Sorry, don't want to do that to you, but personal there. Want to drive up to St. Pete next week or the week after. All right, we got to take a timeout here on the show. Coming up next, we got the Sports Grid 60, and then Kevin and Donnie standing by on this Thursday football day. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the show, a reminder, I'll be right back here with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. So hopefully you stay on the grid for that. Let's turn it over to Davis as we wrap it up with today's Sports Grid 60.
You know, we are about to enter basically the most chaotic period of the sporting calendar. I think that, literally, I don't know if this will ever happen again. We are, at the same time, going to have the football season going on. Hockey starts October 11th. The NBA starts October 18th. We have golf taking their month off. The World Cup is going to be starting. I think the World Cup is 37 days away, if memory serves me correctly. But, like, we're going to be here on Thanksgiving, and there is going to be like 9 of the world's largest sporting events taking place all at the same time. So, you know, say goodbye to your wife, say goodbye to your kids if you are in our line of work, because it's just going to be so unbelievably hectic.
Yeah, definitely so. Baseball postseason starts tomorrow. I'll have more on that on Newswire coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern. But yesterday was Yom Kippur. So in our house, you know, Davis, we fast for a day and then we break the fast at night. So that means no eating. 24 hours, had some family over to do that. And naturally, you know, they're baseball fans. So, you know, they're talking about, guess who, the team that they like, the New York Mets. And you can imagine how it is, Davis, right now. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen with the season's done, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, I'm like, you guys won 100 games this year. Oh, it doesn't mean anything. It just goes to show you the pressure of playing in New York and rooting for your New York teams. You just cannot be happy with anything. Now, I will say this. If the Mets lose to the Padres in a fashion, maybe it'll be a different conversation. But I'm confident. I think the Mets are going to have a good series against the Padres. I think they're going to beat the Padres. They may lose after that, but all hope is not lost. Thanks again to Sean Green for coming on the show. Of course, thanks for LTN, as always, our great graphics department. Thanks to Brett Levy and my co-host Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great Thursday, everyone. Break, break.